Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, we know March is the cruelest month. We always know that. But February, like Forrest Gump said, is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get in the 50s this weekend, maybe low 60s, and in the 30s, rain, sleet. Who knows what's going to be happening early this coming week. Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of February 10th and 11th. And boy, oh boy, are those turkeys flocking up. Winter flocks are out there everywhere. My travels this week, I was in Salem, I was in Cumberland, I was all the way up in through Mercer, all the way up into Middlesex and back down around. Lots of turkeys and lots of fields. Saw some gobblers. Woof. Man, they have, what's the old stereotype, the beer dragging the ground thing? There are plenty of turkeys out there. Just a reminder, you're turkey permit application period is going on as we speak, and it's going to go until what, February 21st or 22nd, February 22nd deadline. Leftover permits and unclaimed permits will go on sale sometime in March. Remember, you apply for two spots, you get both permits, you have to pay for both. You cannot cherry pick, but there are plenty of turkeys out there. Hey, just a reminder, get your chili on, man. You think you're a badass chili chef? And there are some great ones out there. Trust me. I'm not so bad myself. But the great Piccolo Leanne is having Jesse's 6th annual chili cook-off Sunday, February 18th. It's $10 to enter. There's plenty of prizes. Competitors must register by this coming Wednesday, February 14th. Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day. Man, yeah, Easter. It is early this year. Raffle to benefit the super pick chick Jesse. Prayers are with Jesse. A great crew out there, Bonnie and Cricket, everybody. Rally around Jesse. She is just a wonderful person. Visit the pick for a registration form. The Pick Lily Inn, 866 Route 206 northbound side in Chemung, 609-268-2066. Coming up, Dr. Dana Christensen from Stockton, also Ocean County College. Not your daddy or granddaddy's fishing survey. Check it out. Hang in. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
You have the choice whether it's going out to dinner or ordering takeout at a local restaurant. Those choices help to put money back into your community. And Town Square Media South Jersey puts a spotlight on local restaurants.
Trio North Wildwood, chef-driven, quality-focused, bridging a gap between bar food and fine dining. TrioNW.com. Vincenzo's Ristorante, putting the accent on Italian. Soon to be your favorite spot for a delectable lunch or dinner in Galloway. VincenzoSmithville.com. Chico and Sons in Northfield, voted number one sub shop in South Jersey year after year. ChicoandSons.com. Provenza Restaurant and Event Center on Wellington Avenue in Ventnor, a mouth-watering Latin American steakhouse providing customers with a truly great dining experience. On Facebook at Provenza Restaurant Event Center. Looking for a fun night out in Atlantic City? Head out to Gin Ricky's, the Roy Social Hall, and Wild Honey Barbecue, and party like a rock star.
Thank you for supporting these great local restaurants from Town Square Media, South Jersey.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, a shout out to Liza Martin, the lovely Liza up there, Creekside Outfitters in Waretown, texted me a note, a letter she had received and dropped off or whatever at her tight little sporting goods fishing emporium up there again on Route 9 in Waretown. And I said, this is pretty interesting. I'm just going to read it and then intro it because it's hopefully going to get some stuff done here. insofar as availing what you really think of the recreational fishing situations. Okay, the concerns and opinions of all anglers matter. Big survey coming in, man. As a saltwater angler, you're invited to participate in an anonymous voluntary saltwater angler survey. The purposes of the survey is to better understand the types of anglers in New Jersey, including their motives and concerns. Anyone with interest in saltwater fishing can complete the survey. I did it. It's 10 to 15 minutes. Man, there are questions on there I never even thought of. Okay, in conducting this study, we at Stockton University, the guest is patiently waiting on the line right now, hope to explore the patterns and preferences of our anglers separately from law enforcement and regulators. Operative words right there. Our intention is to develop a useful free technology to best support saltwater anglers that would also parallel the needs of scientific researchers and educators. Your decision to participate in this study is voluntary. Please consider participating. It will take approximately, as I said, 10 to 15 minutes. This is your opportunity to share your wants, needs, and concerns. Now, Captain Dave the Rave Shoal, Absecon Bay Sports Center, Natalie Terrace and Absecon put something on Facebook earlier in the week about this survey and urges people to do it. Joining us on the line right now is the one who formulated this, is Dr. Dana Christensen. She's an adjunct professor at Stockton University of Marine Science and also Ocean County College, where she also teaches environmental science and biology. Want to get into this survey, the purpose of it, and what we hope to glean from it. Because, again, listen, as I said, there were questions in there and sub-questions that I never thought of that. I've been around decades. I never thought of that either. So I get a little verbose there, Dr. Dana, but thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Great survey, by the way. It was involved to a point where it opened even my closed mind to some things that I never thought of.
Yeah, so my overall goal is to really hear what the anglers have to say. A lot of times they are having trust concerns with some of the regulations, but they don't really have a platform to be able to say or get their voice heard. So ideally, I've developed a survey to sort of get them to be able to collectively put their voices together in a way that I can share it. Hope that makes sense.
Well, it did, but the thing is, from as we spoke off the air earlier, the tenor of it out there, every spring about this time, late winter, early spring, when the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council has their meeting running the flounder, summer flounder, whatever, regulations, togs, porgy, seabass, what have you. It's just, we're going to get beaten over the head again. And then the fix is in. Why do we even bother? Or another survey for what? What's it going to do? So It's not a good tenor out there, always, especially this time of year. Now, the sea bass, listen, we know is status quo. Big cut and fluke. The striper, it's another nightmare. So, Dr. Dana, this, what do you hope on the long run to get people involved in how, like apps or what? It was a pretty involved survey. And listen, if you can take it, doctor will go into that in a little while. But putting this together, Dr. Dana, how long in the making, like what was the catalyst to get this survey out there?
Yeah, so many people, when you go to bait shops or you go onto party boats or just the regular recreational angler, they're just really frustrated. And I'm kind of hearing this.
Oh, yeah.
as a researcher and saying, there is a need here to have these people be able to voice their opinions in a way that, because like you said, there's surveys that come from these different organizations, which I'm not a part of, and to say, okay, well, I don't have to follow or be restricted by the red tape given by some of these organizations. I'm an independent researcher with Stockton. So I said, you know what, there's a need to have people voice their opinions. And if I can actually write this up and utilize statistics around some of these questions that are the same statistics and present them at the same platforms that some of these researchers go to and some of these organizations where they attend these conferences, or if I can publish in scientific journals, the same journals that they would publish in, it's, 90% of people are dissatisfied, for example, then those are statistics which hopefully people can, at these organizations, will be able to see and can't really shy away from. Hope that makes sense.
It does from a scientific angle. For the layman like us, I guess it makes sense. Have to have another Evan Rather. We're speaking with Dr. Dana Christensen, an adjunct professor at Stockton University, teacher of marine science, and also Ocean County College, environmental science and biology. The survey that's out there, and the doctor will get into it, it's in a, what did you call that, a Q code or something?
Yeah, there's a QR code.
QR code, okay.
And there's also a link, but there's different ways that you can access it.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit, doctor. But the thing is, I noticed you mentioned trust.
Right.
And that came up in the survey because there, and I was like, wow, this is really sort of spot on here about that, because a lot of anglers, at least the ones I know, that we know, that, that fish, again, fish to party boats, fish on the piers, fish on the jetty, have their own boats, are, for lack of a better term, very distrustful of the science. The science is flawed. The term is garbage in, garbage out. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Hopefully this will... I don't know, give another avenue where people can interact, you know, anglers to another angler here. But one of the things I noticed, Doctor, one of the questions was the fear of sharing with law enforcement. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I think a lot of these surveys and just whether it's the scientific community in general, when anglers hear that, they kind of get, they have this distrust feeling. And so
right.
Me being able to assess that and see maybe where or why that comes from, or just the fact that that is present in general, is something that I want to be able to identify.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the long run, if I'm able to potentially get people on the same page, that would allow anglers and researchers to work together, and that would benefit both. You know, getting the anglers, you know, just not to go on a tangent, but Cornell Lab of Ornithology, they developed a birding app, and over time,
mm-hmm.
As people entered their where they saw birds, when they saw birds, they took pictures of them, and then over time, Cornell Lab of Ornithology was able to take all these millions of data points and then create these intricate maps to show when and where the birds were migrating, so the birders could then look at these maps and these tools and get information about the birds, which was ultimately given from the birders. Now, the anglers are a much different community, but
oh, yeah.
In the long run, right?
Now, let me write you a second. I know, I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time because I'm prone to do this. When I saw something there about giving reefs, locations, giving numbers, I went, whoa, hey, that was a pretty straightforward question. Would you mind doing that? So I don't, like you said, anglers are a different group. I don't see many people offering to do that.
Right, but that's something I would want to know, and that the
sure.
scientific community should know, hey, they don't want to do this. We have to take that seriously and then figure out maybe why they do or why they don't, and then, you know, go from there.
Then a response so far.
We can't force them to do that.
Right, no, it's just, response so far. I mean, this is just out. This is just about, what, a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, doctor? The survey?
I believe it's been a few weeks.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And again, getting the word out there. Again, Eliza from Creeks at Alford has sent it to me. Shoal, who's always on top of stuff, he put it out there immediately. Getting this survey out is critical, I think, because again, maybe this is the one time that our feedback could matter. Because it doesn't seem to matter when all the regulations come out every year. Again, more cuts, more this, more that. And I'm going off on a tangent here. But that's where the sense of frustration, the level just, it always builds this time of year, doctor. Especially on the recreational end.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think, you know, talking to one angler here, I go to angler clubs and I educate, but I also talk about this disconnect and then give the survey, and people are usually really receptive kind of when I flesh out, you know, the entire problem. And, you know, it's going to these angler clubs or going to bait shops and kind of explaining this, and people are like, yeah, you know, so talking to one person or two people or five people, that's random data points. But if I can get these data points together,
mm-hmm.
Stockton really has allowed me to set up the survey so that it's like, it was IRB approved. I can't just ask any question that I want. I have to have it structured so that it doesn't essentially hurt the participant, but it also will allow me to discern some information from it. So this process started over a year ago of starting this project, actually getting it out through Stockton. Yeah.
Okay, listeners, we're up against a hard break. We have Dr. Dana Christensen on the Rockefeller Radio line this morning, and talk about her survey that's out there. Doctor, you can hang in during a quick break and then for another segment, correct?
Yep.
Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Yeah, man. Give up. Let's see. We'll put your numbers down on that. Dr. Dane, I don't think so. Hold on, please. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Could Florida undo its gun law changes? Florida lawmakers, after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in 2018, opted to raise the minimum age one could buy a long gun, including semi-automatic rifles, from 18 to 21. Opponents called it unconstitutional, though federal courts didn't agree. But now lawmakers want to reverse that. A new bill under consideration in the Florida House of Representatives in Tallahassee would revert that minimum age to 18. They tried last year, but the bill didn't pass the Florida State Senate. Gun control activists have called the 2018 law a gold standard for school safety, and they oppose repealing it. So far, no Florida state senator has filed a companion bill to the one in the Florida House, and until they do, the matter won't go forward. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
The Egg Harbor Township Parks and Recreation Department is currently holding a winter photo contest. Send a picture of your favorite snowy place or creation that was taken at EHT to recreation@ehtgov.org by February 28th for a chance to win a cool swag bag. Then join them for their health and fitness fair on Saturday, March 23rd, and explore the resources available to you to be a healthy member of the community. Also, now is the time to sign your kids up for summer adventure camp. For more information on these and other activities, visit ehtrec.com.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. One day closer to the spring. I'll tell you, coming down Parkway, it was just like 6:45 or something like that. Made a left on 36 Tilton Road. It was Friday morning. It was Thursday morning. You talk about, was it Friday? The sky was on fire. You talk about red sky and morning, sailors take warning. That was one of those beautiful skies I've ever seen along the Jersey Shore, and the weekend weather is bearing that out with the showers. But, hey, fish are wet anyway. Get out there and enjoy it. Join us on the line is Dr. Dana Christian, adjunct professor at Stockton University, Marine Science and Ocean County College, Environmental Science and Biology, and our survey that is out there now, and it's available with QR codes on it. The doctor's going to explain how more people can avail themselves to it. But, doctor, what I want to know is, you said a year in the making. Then you're sitting down and with your other participants, whatever, hope of putting this together. The simple question, the why of it.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because when I'll go to these individual people or these individual bait shops or just kind of talk to anglers, they all have something different to say. And there might be something specific about a certain species that they're dissatisfied with, or a certain regulation, or whether it's someone who's a party boat captain versus just someone who goes out all the time or just once in a while. And they all, feel frustrated. And so, from a scientific perspective, there's not a lot of people who really want to address this specific question because it's difficult. So, but I'm not really afraid of that challenge. I think it's really important that we do this for the long run, the benefit of the angler and the benefit of the researcher. But, even when you're talking about the language, so there's a lot of things that I'll notice where researchers will say things like, oh, the water is turbid, but to an angler, they say, oh, the water is dirty, right? They're talking about the same thing, but they're just using different language. So that might be a problem, right? Where the language is just different. Or there's some information that anglers have about fishing that researchers have no idea about. For example, an angler can throw some type of bait in the water presented a certain way. And just based on the bite, they know exactly what fish they've caught. Researchers don't really have the ability to do that. There's not really a standard method of, knowing exactly what fish they caught based on the bait presented, right? So there's so much information that anglers have that would benefit researchers. One of the last papers I did on stripers, there was certain information that I asked anglers about, because there was no scientific papers out there about what certain stripers were eating when and when they were migrating, right?
So, mm-hmm, like, exactly.
There's things that anglers know which could benefit the scientific community, but if there's no trust towards the scientific community, why would they ever want to say anything? And I don't want to just be a one-way street where, oh, give us all your data, right? We want to know how they feel. We want to know what they're willing to give. And then if I was in the long term to contribute to developing some kind of app that would help anglers, right? I can't just say, you know, give me all your data. That hasn't gone well in the past. I don't think that will go well in the future. So it's kind of like, hey, what are you willing to give? What do you want to give? What would you want if there was an app developed for you? Not only for you, but also for researchers, if that makes sense.
Doug, one thing, just to interrupt you again. One of the things I noticed in the questionnaire there, in the survey, you know, water temperature, yes. Clarity, yes. Turbidity, whatever, yes. I saw salinity. I said, wow, never really thought of that. And that's a key factor in success in some areas, especially we got heat waves going on in Back Bay areas, you know. That's one of the things that, who really thinks of that? A few of the more esoteric, yes, but again, that's another avenue in there for a point of interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I would gather researchers do more often. So that might be something that, if there was potentially an app or something in the future, hey, if we can get a map of this and associate it with tides, that might be beneficial for anglers in the future.
Is there a timeline, or how long is this survey going to be out there? How long can people take it again, and where to get it as well? And what's the end result? To have an app or apps to bridge these disconnects?
Well, to give you a context, I think Cornell, from start to finish, starting point being getting information and getting an understanding of the population like I'm doing now, start to finish for them was over 15 years, right? So like, technology has gotten much better and faster, and people can mm-hmm. work together a little bit more often. But, you know, so this survey, I wrote it in to my IRB to be open, be allowed to be open for up to 2 years. But I don't know if I'm going to be utilizing that entire time. If I get a lot of participants, I might be able to, you know, start to write up some conclusions a little bit sooner. I'm hoping probably within a year or less, and start to present. But then once I start to get a direction, I didn't want to start with the hypothesis of, oh, everyone's going to feel this way. I kind of wanted my hypothesis to be emergent. So then mm-hmm. my next steps will be dependent upon what we get from here, if that makes sense.
Is there a target number before all this stuff can get the ball rolling?
Ideally, I was hoping for a little over 1,000, but as of right now, I have about 500. So we're going to get there.
You're going to get there pretty soon. Once this is out, you're going to get there pretty soon. And then, who knows, a year, 2 years, 3 years, what do you think? Not to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot.
In terms of where to go from here, I don't know. I mean, to develop smaller citizen science projects of, okay, now that certain people are willing, you know, can we do a little smaller prototype app and see where that goes, and then start to make it bigger, each iteration being bigger and bigger. Potentially, if people do want to work with organizations or don't, that's going to have a say in it too. Like, who is willing to contribute? Are people still going to be distrustful and things of that nature? I have to really assess before moving forward. So it's kind of hard to say. I don't know.
Okay, Dad. Well, Doctor, the survey seems, again, I took it and submitted it. And listeners, it is anonymous. You don't have to put your MRIP number in there, conservation number, whatever they call that, registration number, what have you. And it's all going to be going to the benefit of, I guess, availing more information to recreational fishery management opportunities, what have you. Well, Dr. Dana, how can people get involved with this? Where can they find this survey?
Right. So you're going to be able to find it. I think social media might be an easy way, because a lot of people utilize social media. It's quick. So if you use Instagram, it would be at Professor Professor Christensen, Christensen. And then on there, you can either take, there's a link and there's a QR code. Some people like Facebook. So that would be Christensen Lab, Christensen. But if you want me to email it to you, I'll give you My email would be Dana, D-A-N-A, dot Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N, at Stockton.edu. You can look me up at Stockton, send me an email, and I'll send you a link directly. Feel free to share this link on your social media. Feel free to share the QR code on your social media. Other people have been sharing it on their social media, so you might be finding it on some of their social media accounts as well. But I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, I was available to, again, very fortunate with Liza Creekside emailing me, and then Captain Dave the Rave Scholl from Seeker Bay Sports Center putting it on Facebook, encouraging people to find it and take the survey. Well, Doctor, wish you a lot of luck with this. It's a very ambitious project, and it seems all for the good to, again, bridge these disconnects and make for overall better fishing, better research, and make the environment on the saltwater seem better in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate all your help.
I'm just thinking, Doctor, do you get a chance to fish much at all, or is this just like an overview, one of your interests?
I don't fish as much as I want to, and probably, you know, a little less than the average anglers that I interview, but I do more research type, which is a little bit different, right? And I want to understand the difference.
You nail it on the head, Doctor. Listen, the survey's about, again, I did online, it's 5 pages of 40, 45 questions, something like that. Are you involved? You'll be surprised at some of the questions on there. Doctor, before we go, one of the things I found very interesting, I said, wow, the incentives. Maybe that's a question about incentives to report more data, like, you know, tackle gifts, gift cards. Where did that come from?
Well, because I don't want people to just give data, right? People feel upset when they do that, or like, oh, whether I give data or I don't give data, the regulations are still getting stricter. So if I can provide some incentive that they would want to participate in something, you know, not that the alternative matters, but hey, give them something in return. You know, that would be, I would be able to write for grants and say, hey, people will participate if we provide XYZ. Let's try to provide XYZ and try to give that to them.
What a novel idea. Doctor, I salute you on that one. Well, Doctor, that sounds good. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio this morning. One more time, Dr. Dana Christensen with that email. This is for the survey and social media as well. Go.
So you can send me an email at D-A-N-A dot C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N at Stockton, S-T-O-C-K-T-O-N dot E-D-U. Or you can find me on my social media, which would be at Professor Christensen. That would be, if you're using Instagram, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N. Some people like Facebook, which would be Christensen Lab. But either way, feel free to send me an email or just find me on social media, and you'll be able to find the link and or the QR code. If you can't figure it out, just send me a DM or an email, and or you can go to the Stockton website. I'm on there as well. Search me as a professor, and then just send me an email.
Dr. Dana Christensen, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Good luck with the survey. Listeners, take it. You'd be surprised. It's only good can come of it. You have a great spring season, Doctor. Hope to meet you one of these days on the water.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You take care.
In a world full of fake news, AI, and unverified information on social media, where can you get the latest, most accurate South Jersey news? WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Don't wait for the newspaper to come in the mail. The WPG Talk Radio app is updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Accurate, dependable, reliable. When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. President Biden won't be charged for his handling of classified documents. That's not sitting well with Republican Congresswoman Claudia Tenney.
If they're saying you're not competent to stand trial, how can you be president of the United States? Probably the most important and most difficult job, the most taxing job, where you need to be on top of everything 100% of the time to do a good job.
Tenney on Kudlow on Fox Business. A teen migrant accused of shooting a tourist and firing at a police officer while trying to shoplift in New York City is arrested.
We obtain what we can be described as pristine photos of our subjects. Now, those photos ultimately lead to the identification of our shooter, Jesus Alejandro Rivas Figueroa, a 15-year-old male, born April 19th of 2008.
NYPD Chief Jason Savino, America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Partly cloudy overnight with a shower in places. The overnight low 40. It'll be warm Saturday with variable clouds. Saturday will reach a high of 63. Mild Saturday night, increasing amounts of clouds at a low of 45. Cloudy Sunday morning, then sun and clouds for the afternoon. Sunday will reach a high of 54. Potential storm early next week. Check AccuWeather often. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
One day closer to spring, some warm weather, and the freeze comes back early this coming week or next week. Damn, being Saturday, it's next week. They get one chance there at some ice fishing, and it's all gone. Even up in the Poconos, that place that ice is gone up there. But no matter, the white perch bite is on, has been on for a while. Great article about white perch, tidal waters, South Jersey, in the February issue of the Fisherman magazine. Joining us on the line right now is the well-known author of that piece, Bob Mezak, outdoor writer extraordinaire, trapper extraordinaire, deer hunter extraordinaire, overall super extraordinaire when it comes to sheep's head. Otherwise, a pretty cool guy. Not bad clammy either. Or with the blowtoads. Hey, Mies, how's it going, little brother?
Hey, good morning, Tom T. How are you?
Good. Bob, talking to you, man. Let's talk white perch, the little baby cousins of the stripers. Bob, the bites, it's on. You hit them right, it's on. It's still a little bit early. In your opinion, Miesack, about when does it really, really light up? The third week in February, last week, what's the dealio?
Really, the spawn is when they get real good, super good, which would be around the first week of April into May. But right now, you can catch them in different areas before the spawn comes. We've got a perch winter here, pretty much, so they can be found in a lot of these tributaries with freshwater. So right now, guys are down on Route 30 in Atlantic City. They're doing pretty well with them down that way. And the Toms River has a few. They're hit and miss, And like I say, when the spawn comes, it'll pick up there real well.
Bobby, question, though. The scene that seems to be year to year, though, shout out to my long, long gone buddy, Sookie. He was from the Baltimore area. He called him White Putch. That it seems that they change areas time. Now, remember, Bobby, off 72, that Mill Creek used to be balls to the wall on fire with white perch. And then it became sporadic, and now it seems it's like every second or third year they show up. Is it, Bob, is it habitat, the water filling in, salinity? Because they seem to, there are consistent spots, like in the Mullica, like in Nacogdoches Creek, like in the Bass River there by Viking. But other spots, Bob, they seem to, they're there one year and then not there the next. What do you think?
Well, it is the salinity. The closer you get to those freshwater outlets, the better off you're going to do. When the salt water is light up where the freshwater dumps out, that's where they concentrate. They get real hot and heavy there during the spawn. But in the wintertime, the Mullica, that lets out some freshwater way upstream, too. You got Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Area. There's a lot of freshwater there.
Oh, we don't talk about Tuckahoe.
Okay. Well, the guys that catch them on the regular go to those spots where people congregate. Now, Mill Creek, like you said, was hot and heavy. They just stopped going there for some reason.
Yeah.
And the herring lightened up there as well. People used to dip net herring up there, and they just don't anymore. But the bigger water, what I like to do is get in a kayak, like across from Barnegat Boat Dock, where they have the fireworks. There's a lot of meadows back there.
Yeah.
You can't bring a big boat up in there, but if you take a kayak up in there or anywhere else in those back tributaries where nobody can get to, likely you're going to be fishing by yourself and have tons of perch to catch. But most people are opportunists, and they just go where, everyone else is catching perch. So
he said that for my benefit, people, because I'm a lazy bastard. Well, but like, for example, the Hay, up the wall, Hay Road is always hot, and there's always people there, and you always seem to catch perch. Now, Bobby, in this cold water now, we have this warm now. It's going to be colder this coming week, another freeze coming in. It might be extended for a while. Is it, because I love to catch them, Bob, with a little size zero spinnerbait clip with a jig head with a piece of bloodworm on there, or a little mini, you know, a little killie. But is this mainly in this colder water a bait and wait dealio?
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? In January, I've heard of a lot of people using small spinners.
But really?
They'll hit small spinners, but the trick is to get the spinner or your bait down below 4 feet. No matter what the depth of the water is. I mean, if you're fishing on a lagoon where there's bulkheads, you want to get underneath that last rail all the way down near the bottom where they're feeding on shrimp. Larger perch, the bigger ones, 12, 13 inches, they stay real close to the bottom. You won't catch them on a bobber with a foot down hook. Uh-huh. You got to be real deep. I like to put a split shot on it to send it down quick. And, once you find the perch, the trick to catching the big ones is, number one, keep it deep, and number two, small killies. They love them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you get those little teeny tiny minis, that's a cat's ass, man.
Yeah, and it's hard to keep them alive in weather like this, but if you just get some warm water and keep them alive, your chances of getting bigger perch are a lot better. The fact is that they don't have much meat on them when they're small, I always had troubles keeping the small ones out of the bucket when mm-hmm. you first get started. It's hard to just sift out the big ones when you're catching so many.
Right.
You'd always get home and there'd be a dozen small ones in the bucket. But not to waste them. Small mm-hmm. fillet is good, but it's hard to clean them. They're kind of bony and stuff. You could just gut them out and cook them like a trout, like a lot of people cook pan fry a trout or whatever.
Yeah, or the sunnies or the crappies, yeah. Joining us on the line is Bob Mezak, outdoor writer extraordinaire, has a great article in the February edition of the Fisherman Magazine on white perch. This is the time to bite. It's been going on a couple of weeks. It's sporadic, but it's starting. Listen, there's never, the word excuse is not in the Rack and Fin radio lexicon. It's a reason. There's a reason to get out there and fish right now. And you hit some white perch, right? There are some horses out there. Now, they're going to be getting heavier. The females now, more eggs as they pack on the spawn sacks. But Bob, question, grass shrimp. Whoa. I mean, if you can find those, are they a badass early season bait?
Well, grass shrimp's the best bait for perch. It's just they respond to grass shrimp because that's their main diet.
Mm-hmm.
The main diet is grass shrimp feeding out of the meadows, grass shrimp underneath the bulkheads, grass shrimp on the bridge abutments. Anywhere there's grass shrimp, you're going to find perch. As long as you got, like I said, you got to have you should have a freshwater outlet in mm-hmm. the area. And, if you can get enough grass shrimp, you don't find perch. Now, if you go to certain bait stores, they are onto the perch right now. Like mm-hmm. Bay Road, you want to go see David Seacon Bay, he'll tell you if they're there, if they're hit or miss right now.
Dave's turning into a golden warrior in Guatemala with his wife Judy. he'll be back later next week.
Billy
is aces, man. It'll put you on the fish. Well, Bob, now the bite now in this cold water, is it going to be like the little nib-nib, or is it going to be sometimes, they really thump it? Is it going to be more of a tentative bite or a good whack?
They always hit nice. They'll always send your bobber down. As far as right now, yeah, they do hit lighter because of the colder water. But once that water starts warming up and the spawn is on, once they hit, you'll know, because that bobber disappears. You take your eye away for a minute. It's gone.
Bob,
I use a nice, big, weighted bobber so I can get distance to reach, bulkheads, bridge abutments. You got to get a good cast, get where you want to be.
Bob, is it really tidal influence, or you just basically find the deepest hole around?
No, it's tidal influence. In fact, when we were younger, and even now, the best bite has always been high tide at dusk. And what I mean by that is slack. If you get slack high at dusk, those fish turn on like bandits. And then as soon as the sun goes down over the horizon and it gets dark, that's it. Bites off. So you get a good hour and a half of good, solid fishing. And you can fill a bucket up in that time. That's how good the fishing can get,
Okay, Bob. Well, Bob, as you alluded to, people like me, now, other people, so there must be a bite going on there. And I know you've, I've, when I talked to you with the shows and stuff, you espouse this. stick and move, stick and move. Get, explore other areas, because the perch, they'll be still stationed in a hole here, but they're moving. The fish have tails, like you said, right? And they'll end up in different holes. Explore other areas, correct?
Yeah, go to a WMA and go to a big pond, like down in the Manahawk and WMA, where everyone does this. Go down there and go walk all the way back to the big pond, and you'll find schools of perch that are landlocked in there. No one's fishing for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went there for years. Like I said, you got to stick and move and find a little spot. You'll see them popping. We used to see them popping on top of the water at Dennisville Lake. A young fellow went into Murphy's last fall. He had perch actually blitzing on small peanut bunker in the river. You could see him coming right out of the water.
Where was this?
In the Tom's River.
You talk about Murphy's Hookout, Dennis?
Yep, Dennis at Murphy's Hookout knows where the perch are, when they're hitting, and where they're hitting.
Yeah, that guy is an encyclopedia, I'll tell you that, man.
And he has all the baits. All the baits you need, big giant bloodworms, you know.
Now, Bob, let me run this by, because then shout out to Captain Al Cardelli and sons Jimmy and Michael there on the Tuckahoe track, as they call it. We've had times, Bob, in late February, early March, yellow perch mixed in. Have you ever seen that? And big ass, y'all. I'm talking 10, 11, 12, 13-inch yellow perch. Fat bat loaded with roe.
I love the Crudellis. They know their stuff. And we used to fish in a place called Pickle Factory Pond down in Cape May, where there was a landlocked lake.
Yep.
And how the yellow perch got in there, I don't know, but we used to catch bucketfuls of them.
Did you ever see the crappies in there? Bees?
Yeah.
And East Creek Lake.
Yes, another deep-water spot where you want to keep your stuff down near the bottom. And catch those crappies, always hang deep. They never go up to the surface. Yeah. Always stay on the bottom.
Well, Meese, we got to wrap it up here. Thanks for joining us. Sharing knowledge on Rack and Fin Radio's Bob Misak. Check out the February edition of Fisherman Magazine. His article on white perch. Get out there and catch him now. Warm the next couple of days and the freeze is coming on. As Bobby says, stick and move. The perch are there. They don't have the feed bags on tied on tight just yet, but they are on the chow a little bit. And Bob, I'll tell you, they are some of the best eating fish going, man.
Oh, they are.
Ooh. By the way, how is Jack? Listen, Bob Misak has a Jack Russell Terrier, aptly named Jack, who has been known to give fighting lessons to pit bulls. He is one tough little bastard, man.
He's like his dad. He's a wiry little
guy. He is tough. Hey, Meese, thanks, Jordy. Best of the misses. We'll see you on the water pretty soon. Let's get together the next couple of weeks. Let's get some white perching down, Meese.
Let's go.
Catch you later, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Yeah, great white perching out there. It's going to get better, especially after this freeze. Going to wrap it up next segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, employers and employees are not as loyal to each other as they used to be. When did the breakdown occur, and will it ever be repaired? We'll explore. Also, a tech expert joins us for a list of the best plug-in hybrid vehicles. Plus, what it says about you if you feel strongly about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and the rise of situationships for young adults in the dating world. That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
With GMF financing to qualify buyers, excludes Corvette, excludes prior sales.
Big news! Ben & Chevy is celebrating President's Day all month long. All month, we're selling new Chevys at the GM supplier employee price. Not a penny more. Plus, you keep all the rebates. Yes, that's right. At Ben & Chevy, you get both, which could save you over 10%. That's thousands more in your pocket. Ask yourself, what other dealer gives you an offer this good? Nobody. That's who. Plus, there's available 1.9% financing. Hold on, there's more. Bennett is paying a mind-blowing minimum $10,000 for any old junker you can drive or tow to our lot towards any pre-owned in stock. To be clear, 10 grand is the bare minimum. Now imagine how much you'll get for a good trade. One more thing. First time at Bennett? You're in for a treat. Unlike other dealers, our non-commissioned sales team isn't paid on how much you spend. They're rewarded based on your satisfaction. Trust me, it makes a huge difference. Together, let's drive. Bennett Chevy, Egg Harbor Township, and BennettChevy.com.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Anjali.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just got an alert for a strange charge on my card.
No problem. We make sure you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases on your Discover card. Let's see. Did you purchase something from a t-shirt cannon store yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, I already have like three.
$0 fraud liability guarantee. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
Can I get a weight reading on the cat in exam 3?
Zuri needs a new vet tech after their current one literally moved to a farm.
Snout-to-tail checkup is waiting.
But finding an ideal replacement takes some training.
This is like herding cats.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Schedule virtual interviews and talk to candidates right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Wrapping it up the second weekend in February on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Hey, the predator hunting season is on, coming up on starting the 16th and running through the 25th. These guys are so freaking cool. It's the Crooked Horn second annual Predator Tournament down there at Crooked Horn Gun Club in Belle Plaine. I love the Belle Plaine area. I love the Cape May. The Peninsula County has it all. Joining us on the line right now is club member Rich Lachlan talking about this tournament. The sign-up starts February 16th from 5 to 7 p.m., and it runs through. It's weigh-in. It's a reasonable price to get in. Plenty of food, plenty of prizes, a lot of good stuff. Rich, thanks for joining us. How you doing, little brother? Wish we had more time. Tell us about the tournament.
Hey, tournament ran good. It ran good last year. We got the second annual coming up this year. We had about 130 contestants last year.
Boom.
Hoping to make that better this year. We extended it to 5 animals instead of 2. So you had to weigh in 5 animals in each category. On top of that, we also pushed the weigh-in times back just a little bit due to people asking for it. And there's 5 chances to weigh in. So you have plenty of time to weigh in your animals, 5 chances to weigh in, and we got plenty of door prizes, food and drinks, the final weigh-in. It's a great time. We had a lot of kids come out last year, and it's just an awesome time.
Now, the final weigh-in is going to be at the Gun Club, and that's going to be from 12 to 1 p.m. That's followed by food, drinks, and payouts. This is we have. You have raccoon, you got coyote, you have fox. Sign-up is February 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. Adults, $25. 13 and younger, $10. Raccoon, Calcutta, $30 a team. Teams are 1 to 4 people, and animals can be trapped or hunted. You got prizes for the biggest coyote and fox allowed to weigh in 5 of each predator, as Richie said, fox, coyote, raccoon. I'll tell you, man, this sounds like a fun event, and you had a great time last year, and you see the numbers growing even more, don't you think?
Oh, I definitely have gotten some phone calls already. I'm hoping this year it gets bigger and we see what happens. I mean, but it's a fun time. It really is.
Okay, listen, everything's going to take place at the Crooked Horn Gun Club in Belle Plaine. Can you give that address, Rich?
We do not have an address, but it'll be on Facebook on how to get there. It's right off of Belle Plaine. So all the information is on our Facebook page, Crooked Horn Gun Club. They got the way to get there, the directions to get there. It'll have the rules posted along with the flyer that goes out. And when you sign up, you get a list of rules and everything. But they can also get a hold of me at 609-774-6991 if they cannot make it. I will do free registers from signing up, and we will take your money through Venmo, that way you guys can hunt this tournament.
Fantastic. Listen, and the Cape has its share of dogs and foxes and raccoons, I'll tell you that. Richie, last year, didn't you guys have a coyote that pretty much looked like a teenage timber wolf size-wise?
It did. It weighed almost 45 pounds. It was 44.84 pounds.
Oh, man. That thing probably ate a lot of fawns.
Yeah, and a hunter got him. A hunter got him. He called him in along with a 38-pounder.
Tell you what, they do impact. We had the Predator Tournament last week. There's another big Predator Tournament going on out of Monroe up there in Middlesex County. But the depredation factor, the coyotes and the foxes, I mean, the game birds, the turkeys, they're egg robbers, the deer. I mean, these things, listen, there have to be some. You keep the balance. But when they're, those dogs are all over the Cape, man.
Yeah, they're getting bad. They are.
I see them up outside Ocean City, Marmora area. And then all the way down by Higbee Beach, by the way, listeners, which is closed now for a couple of years. They're doing some construction down there. Beaver Swamp. I see them all. I used to have a place in there of 47 there by Reed's Beach. These things are everywhere.
Every field you look in the early mornings, they'll be out there.
Yep. Listen, the second annual Predator Tournament, Crooked Horn, second annual Predator Tournament. Rich, one more time with that Facebook and phone number, please.
Crooked Horn Gun and Club on Facebook. We have all our information, and you can also get a hold of me, Richard Rockman, at 609-774-6991, and I'll take care of you.
Listeners, it's open to trapping and hunting. However, all animals must be harvested legally in New Jersey and follow all New Jersey hunting regulations. That's vital. This is an up, straight up club. By the way, Lachlan, I see the operative word here, food. You're going to have plenty of food?
We will have plenty of food.
They know, man. They prepare for Tom P. Richie, best of the family. Hopefully, we'll see you guys in a week or two.
Hopefully.
See you, brother. Be good. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Yep. Love the Predator Hunting. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Me, Tom P. Hey, get to that fishing survey. Check it out. Good time. Get out there and enjoy. The white perch bite is on. Some bass and pickerel happening. Going to get cold this week. So what? One day closer to spring. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.